Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LeDuc. The exhibition Mystery and Wonder, highlights from the illustration collection, opened March 2nd at Norman Rockwell Museum in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. It runs through June 16th and features selected images from Norman Rockwell Museum's permanent collection, which now holds almost 25,000 artworks created by more than 300 illustrators. Included works are cover art for award-winning novels and mysteries, children's book illustrations inspired by classic tales, fantastical anthropomorphic drawings, and heart-stopping editorial images. Norman Rockwell Museum Chief Curator Stephanie Plunkett and featured artists Teresa Fossilino and Joan Hall join us to tell us more. Teresa is a contemporary American illustrator, widely known for her detailed, intriguing mystery novel color illustrations. She has worked for most of the major magazines, publishers, and advertising agencies, constantly honing her particular, recognizable style of illustrative painting. And Joan Hall is a freelance collage artist and illustrator. Her work has appeared on the cover of Time magazine, in the New York Times, and numerous other publications. Hall's collages and assemblages have been exhibited in galleries and museums worldwide. Stephanie, Teresa, and Joan, welcome. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for having us, Sarah.
Thank you for having us, Sarah.
Stephanie, we'll begin with you. Tell me about the initial seeds of the idea for this exhibition and how you've worked to put it together with your team and the artists involved.
Absolutely. As you mentioned in your introduction, we have a really wonderful collection of works by a wide range of illustrators, both historical and contemporary. And the subject of Mystery and Wonder was one that was reflected throughout the collection in various interesting ways. So, we felt that it would be a lively and interesting theme under which to be able to share the various perspectives that have been brought forward by the artists. And we currently have 17 artists reflected in the exhibition, thankfully some with a really terrific series of works. And, they range from art that was created during the mid-20th century to pretty much today. So, Teresa and Joan are really incredible artists, and felt very fortunate to be able to include them both, and people have been greatly enjoying their work.
Joan, could you tell me a kind of nutshell summary of how you discovered your artistic, voice, how you've developed your expression, and what it means to be a part of this exhibition?
Well, first of all, I'm very happy to be part of the exhibition. My parents were both artists, and so my artistic career, I guess, started when I was a kid because they put me in art school. But I rebelled and I wanted to be a dancer. So I went, I studied dance, and then I got into Juilliard as a modern dance major, but I flunked ballet. So I left. And I joined the American Mime Theater for about 10 years and taught mime at the Academy of Dramatic Arts. But all the time I was collecting items and nostalgia, memorabilia, and I traveled to Europe and collected more, and I was painting and drawing just on the side. And a friend of mine who's a photographer asked me if I could, if she could photograph my work, and maybe I could take my work to different publications, because I was making little assemblages and collages out of all this that I've collected. And she did. And I took it around. And those days you were taking a portfolio around, you were going by foot. Mm-hmm. And so this was around 1971. And so I took my work around, and lo and behold, I got the cover of the New York Times Book Review. And that launched my career as an illustrator.
Could you tell me about the piece or pieces of yours that are in this exhibition?
Yes, I was commissioned by the Book of the Month Club. Jessica Weber was the art director, to do a book on an alphabet, a literary alphabet. And so each page and each collage used the font of the letter, a different font for a different letter, and so on. And so I did a book for Book of the Month Club. And that book is in the show right now with the illustrations of some of them. And also assemblages, which are, in this case, three-dimensional box constructions with found objects and so on. And so all that was part of the show with the book covers and the Time magazine cover and so on, alongside of the actual assemblage. So,
do you think that your time spent as a dancer and as a mime, that all of the time spent so very aware of your corporeal self, of your physical body, influences the art that you make outside of yourself?
I think all art is related, and I think that I know, and I only learned this afterwards when someone pointed it out, that one of the bodies of work that I do for my fine art is a group called Icons, and they're mixed media assemblages using natural and man-made objects of figures. And all of these figures are characterizations of different types, are like a fashionista or a samurai or so on. And then I realized these are characters from the mime theater. These are characters that were actually portrayed. So subconsciously, I was creating art that revealed that.
You are leading a collage workshop at the Norman Rockwell Museum on May 18th from 11 to 3 p.m. What can people expect from that? What do you provide and offer when you run a workshop like this?
Well, I have a method in teaching the workshops, and I go step by step. And I have them start just scrapping magazines and trying to find one theme. A surrealistic fantasy is the prompt. Mm-hmm. And basically, it's one theme that speaks to the one image that speaks to them, and to work around that image so they don't clutter up the whole collage. And then to scrap and find a background that goes with it and so on, to keep it simple. Because a lot of beginners think they have to, because they're using appropriation and a different people's work, they have to fill up the collage to make it theirs, which is not so. And so I try to get them to make something original by using the bare minimum. And that's basically what the workshop is going to be. Step by step, I teach them which glues to use. I show them, you know, composition, how to basically like that. Following the workshop, I'm going to be giving a lecture that I, a Photoshop lecture that I created on collage and assemblage, past and present, from 12th century Japan all the way to the present. Showing illustration, collage was how it was used in illustration, and also my own work.
And that is after the collage workshop on that same date, May 18th. More information at nrm.org. Stephanie, could you use your, you know, your curatorial expertise to tell us a little bit more from your perspective about Joan's work?
Oh, Joan's work is incredible. You know, when you look at her collage boxes, you feel as though you're entering, as she said, a kind of a wonderful surrealist fantasy. And yet, in the use of her assembly of images and objects, which can include photographs and three-dimensional objects and small sculptural objects, she's really satisfying the assignment. So, you know, whether she is speaking to an event in politics, such as the cover of the New York Times that she illustrated, or, you know, something having to do, let's just say, with a novel book jacket, there's a wonderful consciousness of being both herself as an artist, but also satisfying the assignment. And that is actually what illustrators are so good at, you know, being aesthetically true to who they are, but also ensuring that the client is getting what they need as well.
Wow, Mystery. Thank you, Stephanie.
Mystery and Wonder, highlights from the illustration collection at Norman Rockwell Museum, is on view through June 16th. The artist we've just been discussing is Joan Hall. We're also joined by the artist Teresa Fasolino. Teresa, hello. I would like you to tell me about your path to being an illustrator as well, please.
Well, not as interesting as Jones, I must say.
I drew
and painted, you know, as a young person, as a child, and but I don't think I really knew what an illustrator was. So I didn't know how to channel that. But going to visual arts, I was lucky enough to have some wonderful teachers like Robert Weaver and Marshall Arisman, who were really very, stars in illustration. And they were able to channel show me how to channel my work into being an illustrator. And as far as my style, I started out actually doing reliefs and boxes, sort of not that different than Joan, other than they were partly painted. And I had a little shopping bag and I would carry these around. And my first jobs actually came from this three-dimensional work. But when I took my first trip to Italy and I saw the old masters, that really set my style, my sensibility for the rest of my career, because I just wanted to paint, you know, like that in a kind of Renaissance style.
What were the elements of the Renaissance paintings that spoke to you, that sung your heart, that you wanted to take into your own practice?
I love the landscapes, the little landscapes behind the figures, and the idea of the Renaissance composition, traditional composition, all of that. And so that's where my work really went. And I got work when I was my last year of school. And so I've always freelanced. And I've done, these days I do mostly book jackets. They have very long deadlines, which is useful. But I did everything. You know, I did magazine work, editorial. I've done stamps. I did mural for Trattoria dell'Arte. So, as a general illustrator, I've done pretty much everything. But the book jackets do speak to me because I do like to read and I do like mysteries. And I think people all over like the idea of solving a puzzle and having a solution at the end of the mystery. So that's what's in the show on my covers for the mystery book jackets. Some of them are for Nio Marsh, who you may know is was the generation of Agatha Christie. And her work, along with Christie's, kind of elevated the idea of the detective and mystery to a more literary genre. And the other work are more contemporary writers, like Robin Page, was actually a pseudonym for a husband and wife team. And they fall under the kind of category of what we call a cozy mystery.
Mm-hmm.
And the cozy mysteries don't really have like a lot of violence that take place, not graphic violence that takes place within the. It's off stage. It takes place
right.
Kind of off stage. And they're often amateur sleuths, very often women, or in the case of one of the book jackets that's on the wall, one of the paintings, it's a famous person like Mark Twain who would be the detective.
You are on Saturday, so tomorrow as this airs, you are leading a mystery narrative still life workshop and doing an artist talk. Could you tell me what you have prepared for those events that you can, you know, spoil for
us? Rockwell has prepared something very interesting because it's for all ages. So I think to do a painting wouldn't really work out, but we've set up some wonderful mystery still lives that have a lot of clues in them, because my work is really kind of a narrative still life. It has clues, doesn't usually show characters, which the modern mystery novel doesn't really focus on showing the characters. So some person can imagine what this character looks like. So there, we've set up mystery still lives and we've actually taken photos of them so that people can pick out their photo, or they can draw directly from the still life if they want and create a image in the time frame of the workshop.
That's fantastic. And what will the focus of your talk be?
Well, Stephanie and I are going to talk together. Mm-hmm. So, and I do have a PowerPoint of work as well to go with it.
Stephanie, could you tell me more about your relationship with Teresa's work and how it fits into the exhibition, please?
Absolutely. You know, I've been so fortunate to know Teresa over the years, and, you know, we have exhibited her work in thankfully other exhibitions in the past. It's absolutely wonderful. She very generously donated an important series of original art for her mystery novel covers to the museum, and they are so wonderful. So as she was saying, the still life certainly plays an important role, and what's great is that she just has an amazing imagination and vision where, you know, you'll see something at first, like a beautiful still life, maybe on the deck of a ship, and you'll look beyond after a few seconds and notice that there's a body floating in the water. So, you know, there's a lot of kind of mystery and wonder and excitement in her work, and it's absolutely beautifully painted. But I think, too, when you think about the purpose of a book jacket, it's really to attract readers, and people have been engaged with various series of mystery novels because of Teresa's illustrations. And authors have reflected that they feel their books have been as successful as they have because of the illustrator who's appealing to readers in that way. So I think, you know, that the art is just absolutely beautiful, very, very jewel-like.
And those events are this Saturday, the April 27th. I want to ask each of you artists the same question, but I will start with Joan this time, which is, having work in the permanent collection at Norman Rockwell Museum, how did it come about and what does it mean to you?
Well, first of all, I'm overjoyed to be in the museum and have my work represented there. I can't think of a better place to show my illustration. And the way it happened is quite interesting because another artist in the show, Thea Claros, was my best friend for years. And I know her daughter, Hillary. Thea passed on a while back, but Hillary and I remained friends. And it was Hillary who gave the connection of Stephanie to me. So that's, and then when Stephanie learned of my work, she said she knew my work, was familiar with it. That's how it happened, came to my studio, and I donated a bunch of work to the museum.
And Teresa, Stephanie mentioned that you donated your work, but how did it happen and what does it mean to you?
Oh, well, first of all, I'm so honored to be a part of the permanent collection at the Norman Rockwell. And I agree with everything Joan said about, you know, what a place, what a home for one's work. And Stephanie and I go back a long way. So I was in a big stamp show at the Rockwell, I think was the first show I was in quite a number of years ago. And then there was a show of women illustrators. And every time, you know, when you see your work on those walls and the same walls that Norman Rockwell is on, it's just like overwhelming. You just feel like you died and went to heaven. You know, it's just so amazing. Because I think Rockwell, you know, obviously the most admired and beloved American artist who ever existed, you know, so to be on the same wall is really an honor.
We are nearly out of time here, but before we go, Stephanie, is there anything we've failed to mention that you think we should emphasize before we say adieu?
I think the beauty of seeing these artworks in the original is quite spectacular. And I think the range of viewpoints that the exhibition reveals under our theme of mystery and wonder is also a lot of fun. So I'm just so thankful to have Teresa and Joan in the exhibition and look forward to hopefully having visitors come and enjoy their work and the work of many others as well.
Mystery Narrative Still Life Workshop with Teresa Fossolino is April 27th, followed by an artist talk by Teresa. Collage Workshop with artist Joan Hall, May 18th, with a lecture following. These are events are all at Norman Rockwell Museum in Stockbridge, Massachusetts, as part of the Mystery and Wonder Highlights from the Illustration Collection exhibition. Stephanie, Joan, and Teresa, thank you very much for joining me, and it's been a real pleasure to get to know each of you.
Thank you so much, Sarah. We appreciate you having us.
You can learn more by visiting nrm.org. That link, of course, will be posted along with this interview at wamc.org. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable.